Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Wow. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Oh, we're about to have a beautiful five-day stretch of football, both at the collegiate and at the professional level. It's already started. Logan Weber here on After Hours, here on 96.5 The Fan, here from 7 to 9 o'clock tonight. Our producer, Julio Sanchez. Of course, today's only my second day here in studio. Hosted the show last night, hosting it again today. So I'll be sure to, if you didn't hear it yesterday, I'll continue to introduce myself as we go along. But man, there is so much to get to tonight in the world of sports. And it's got to kind of start with the college football playoffs, right? You got semifinal games going on right now. You got one tomorrow as well. Right now, we've got the Capital One Orange Bowl taking place, Notre Dame against Penn State. The Nittany Lions were the number six seed coming into the CFP, probably a little bit better than their seeding represented. Same thing with Notre Dame coming in as the number seven. Their only loss of the year was a head scratcher against Northern Illinois. Some thought that it should have kept them out of the field in general. I think they've kind of put those naysayers silent ever since. And right now, not much going offensively for either of these two teams. It's knotted up at 0-0, about 8:30 to go in the first quarter. Riley Leonard's got 38 yards passing. Drew Aller's got 29. I look at this game, Julio, and I see, I mentioned this yesterday, they talk a lot nowadays about offense. You got to be scoring points is how you win games nowadays. College football this year has kind of put that to rest a little bit. Offense wins games, defense wins championships, that cliche we're all used to hearing. All four of these teams are in the top 10. All four of these teams are in the top 7 in terms of total defense and points per game allowed in college football this year. They're winning by generating stops rather than by generating scores.
Yeah, I think the college game just in general is, it's just so much different than the mm-hmm. NFL, right? The NFL, I think that holds true. It's an offense wins games, I think, in the NFL. College is different. I mean, there's such a difference in talent level from a lot of these teams. I think that's maybe what is more than likely, you know, the difference between it. College playoff teams and the not college playoff teams.
Oh, no question about it. You know, we talk all the time. You hear somebody every year, right? There's somebody on Twitter who stirs up a controversy saying, oh, I think that the best team in college football could beat the worst team in the NFL. The best team in college football, the best teams we've ever seen in the history of college football. Think back to 2019 LSU. Think back to that 2000-2001 era of the Miami Hurricanes. There might be that Miami team's maybe the greatest team of all time, had 30, 35 guys make an NFL roster, and maybe only 10 or 12 of those guys were really consequential players consistently throughout their careers on an NFL roster. So to say that that's the case is just insane. So I think that I do agree with you. The talent level is a little bit different, right? The upper echelon guys that are competing in this game, right? Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton for Penn State. You look at Riley Leonard at the quarterback position for Notre Dame. Even Drew Aller, to some extent, I think could be a pro. Defensively, I think, is where the biggest chunk of these guys are going to end up in the NFL. So that makes the most sense, right? Strong defense at the college level can kind of translate itself to the pro level, maybe a little bit more than the offensive side of the football. But
you know, that it just kind of depends. You never really know with that. So that's going on right now. We'll kind of update it as the show goes along here. If you have any questions for us, you can feel free to go to our text line, 913-586-7965. I don't have any guests booked for tonight. I had Jordan Foote from Sports Illustrated and Jalen Thompson from The Star on with us last night, talking about Chiefs, talking about Royals, talking about the NFL playoffs, but no such guests booked tonight. So Julio, it is you, it is me, and it is our text line again. That's 913-586-7965. There is one other college football playoff game going on tomorrow night that we will talk about as we go along here. But we did get some NFL news and some Chiefs news today. The NFL Players Association came out with their all-pro lists, and much to the chagrin of some, you did not see all that many Chiefs as a part of it. Only three Chiefs made the list, those three being, no surprise, Creed Humphrey at the center position. You had Joe Tooney at left guard, left tackle, wherever you want to put him, seemingly. He's that versatile along the offensive line. He was an all-pro, according to the NFLPA. And then Chris Jones, defensively. I mean, there were some surprises there. Was I surprised to not see Mahomes on that list? No, frankly, I wasn't. I am maybe one of just a few Chiefs fans out there that believes that I'm one of those that's not all that disappointed that Mahomes didn't make the Pro Bowl. I think that this was statistically the worst year of his career. Not saying it was the worst year of his career or he had a bad year by any stretch of the imagination, because he didn't, because he's Patrick Mahomes and he doesn't have bad years. But you look at his numbers, they were a little bit down from what we're used to seeing from him. And you look at what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow did and the numbers that they put up. Pro Bowl voters and the fans, quote unquote, right? They're going to look at the numbers. They may not have watched all the games and seen all the things and seen how good Mahomes was in the back half of the season when things started to get a little bit more healthy for him on the offensive side of the football and they started to get things figured out in the wide receiver core. But not surprised to see him not in the Pro Bowl, not surprised to see him on this All-Pro team. If there's two guys that I was kind of shocked didn't make the All-Pro list here with the NFLPA, I thought Trey Smith would potentially make it at the right guard spot. And I really thought Trent McDuffie stood a very, very good chance with the year he had outside as a true outside corner for the first time in his career after being a slot guy a season ago.
Yeah. This kind of tacks onto the back end of the Pro Bowl situation, right? In that this year, the Chiefs, for whatever reason, and it hasn't been pretty football that they've played. It's been, quite honestly, kind of ugly football up until the last few games, but they haven't done anything flashy. You know, none of the players individually stood out this year. I think a handful, right? Those few all pros, but otherwise there's not been much flash with this team this year. And that's okay, right? They're still winning, right? They're the worst 11-1, 12-1, 13-1 team in NFL history. I'll take that. I think, again, this is just more motivation for some of those players like Mahomes. And I'm with you. I don't think Mahomes, he was not all pro level this year, right? He wasn't even Pro Bowl level this year. I'm with you on that. And I'm not upset by that at all. But maybe this is, right, just a little bit of extra motivation for some of those guys going into the playoffs of, I'm not a Pro Bowler, I'm not an all pro, but I'm going to be a 3-peat champion. Like, maybe that's something they can use now. Again, the greatest of the greats use whatever motivations they can and use that to spur these great moments.
I don't know.
That's where I think this is headed.
I just don't know why the league as a whole, whether it's the Players Association, whether it's the media, whether it is whoever it ends up being, continues to try to put this bulletin board material together and throw it in front of the Kansas City Chiefs as if that's not the worst decision that you can make. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and the patented, you know, when he was named as the number 5 player in the NFL top 100 and he goes out and throws for 5 in a game and he's counting it off on his fingers. And, you know, right now we're seeing it, right? I mean, Travis Kelce is fired up right now after the comments and the controversy, quote unquote, surrounding, oh, did the Chiefs throw the Broncos game on purpose so that the Bengals didn't make the playoffs? And he's like, I'll play him in the parking lot. Doesn't matter to me. I will line up in a phone booth against the Cincinnati Bengals. I want to play the best because I want to beat the best to prove that we are the best, right? And I love that philosophy. Kind of makes you feel like, could we get like a vintage postseason Travis Kelce-like performance next week? I'm thrilled by the chance at it. And you're right. You look at Trey Smith, that's a dude who already plays with a ton of fire at the right guard spot. Sometimes he teeters along the edge of a little bit too fiery or too aggressive.
He has
picked up some personal fouls and maybe some late hits and those sorts of things, or maybe the 4 to 6 seconds of blocking extends to 8 to 10 seconds of blocking at times.
Love it.
That's what makes him great, right? And the last thing you want to do is put more kerosene on that fire. And for Trent McDuffie, I think that he might have the biggest gripe, because, I mean, you look at all the analytics, right? You look at Pro Football Focus, you look at all the numbers, and you say, you know, average yards of separation, he's got the fewest in the league. Average passer rating when targeted, fewest in the league. All these different things, pass deflections, forced fumbles. I mean, he's the best corner in football when it comes to knocking the ball loose from a ball carrier. He's exceptional at it. The one knock against Trent McDuffie has always been, well, he doesn't generate interceptions, right? I mean, he's 2 years into his career, and he's got three career interceptions or whatever you might have, but he is overly effective in a lockdown at what he does. Guys just don't throw it in his direction. So how are you going to generate interceptions when you don't get targeted all that much out there on an island trying to cover a receiver one-on-one? So I'm fascinated to see where these guys can go with what they've produced this season, how much better the offense has looked, especially the last month, I would say, right? Prior to the Broncos game, because that gets thrown to the wayside, inconsequential. Nobody really played in that game. But having Hollywood Brown back has opened things up. And I found it interesting. I can't remember which broadcast it was. It was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was during that 3 games in 11 days the Chiefs were playing. And the color commentator was talking about how he had sat down and had a conversation with Andy Reid and said that early in the year, Xavier Worthy was having to run routes that weren't deliberately designed for him within the system, right? They had Xavier Worthy routes. They had Rashee Rice routes. They had Hollywood Brown routes. And when Hollywood goes down in the preseason, Xavier Worthy's got to run over, and he's got to run the routes that were designed for Hollywood Brown. Now, both of those guys are speedsters, but I think they have a different skill set in terms of what they provide speed-wise. Xavier Worthy is great in terms of crossing routes and fly patterns, deep outs, deep ends, those sorts of things. Hollywood Brown is a little bit more technical in his route running, and I think that was what set him up for some of those dig routes and other things that he can do to get himself open, because he has speed, but he also has a tremendous amount of agility in getting himself side to side that Xavier Worthy is still trying to work through. And then Rashee Rice is seemingly a jack of all trades. He's a big bodied receiver, and then when he goes down, now Xavier Worthy's having to do what Rashee Rice was doing. Well, you trade for DeAndre Hopkins, you bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, and then you get Hollywood Brown back healthy, everything opens back up again. Xavier Worthy can run Xavier Worthy routes, and DeAndre Hopkins has kind of filled that Rashee Rice role in some respect, right? Juju Smith-Schuster has kind of been sprinkled in there at times, running similar routes like that, Justin Watson to some extent, and then Hollywood Brown slides right into where he was in the preseason planning for this team, and then you look at what the tight ends have done, with Travis Kelce having a really good year after a slow start, and Noah Gray really bursting onto the scene, and I think showing a lot of people that he can be the Kelce decides that his career is said and done with, whenever that is. We don't know, right? There's people speculating, oh, if the Chiefs win it this year and they get the three-peat, then he's going to retire and he's going to go get engaged to Taylor Swift and all the different things. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I think Trav loves to play the game of football. I have a hard time believing with him as a competitor to leave on top at that point. You know, you've won 3 in a row. Is the itch there to try to win 4 in a row? Who knows? But I think right now we just take advantage and enjoy what we've got in front of us with this Chiefs team. And, you know, talk about all the positives that this team has. I want to dig into a little bit, maybe some of the question marks that this Chiefs team has surrounding it heading into the postseason, right? Let's talk about the good, but you got to equally kind of mention maybe not the bad, but the questionable as we go along. So we'll talk about that here on the other side. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Logan Weber, Julio Sanchez, coming right back.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Here's hoping that we hear Mitch Holtis say that a couple of different times next season, or next week. Not next season. What am I talking about? Yeah, next season for sure, but next week, definitely, as the Kansas City Chiefs await who their opponent is going to be for the AFC divisional round of the playoffs. There's a couple of different possibilities, right? You look at a probable matchup. I would say the two most likely teams being either the Los Angeles Chargers or the Houston Texans, that being the 4-5 game. But of course, the Chiefs being the number one overall seed, they will play whoever the lowest seeded team is remaining. So you look at the 3-6 matchup, Ravens Steelers. If Pittsburgh is able to continue their trajectory in the way that they've played against Baltimore in the last, I don't know, half decade, then they could very well end up coming to Kansas City, coming to Arrowhead for a matchup there, which I don't think would bode well for Pittsburgh because it didn't the first time around. And then you've got Broncos Bills. And I know that there's people out there, you know, I was talking with Dane and Hughes out in our little bullpen area prior to his show from 6 to 7. And I said, you know, what's the upset? What's the team you're looking at to be able to kind of make something happen? And he's like, Denver against Buffalo. And I can't say I mind it all that much. I mean, I look at it. Broncos have an elite defense, no question about it. They are number 3 in the league in total defense, in top 5 in points per game allowed, and they are the number 1 team in terms of sacks and quarterback pressures and quarterback knockdowns of any team in football. We saw them rear their ugly head against the Chiefs last weekend. So I think it's a very realistic possibility. If I was a betting man, I would say that likely the Chiefs will be playing the Chargers next week. Can't say I'm too thrilled about. I can't say I'm too thrilled about it the way that Justin Herbert has been throwing the football as of late. But the Texans kind of seem to just be on their last legs. So with all that in mind, we look at, you know, okay, who are some of the possible opponents for the Chiefs this next weekend? What are some of the biggest question marks for this Kansas City Chiefs team as they enter the playoffs? A team that has won 2 Super Bowls in a row. You're looking for your 3rd in a row. Things have all seemingly kind of come together here as of late, albeit aside from that Broncos game, which you saw a great deal of guys just didn't suit up. So talk to us a little bit. Tell us who you think, what you think are some of the biggest concerns with this Chiefs team. You can send us a message on the text line at 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. And I guess I'll start with, we just talked about Trent McDuffie as a guy that may have been a little bit of a snub for the NFLPA's All-Pro team. And I think that he has been very, very good on the outside corner. I think he probably should have been an All-Pro, should have been a Pro Bowler rather than an alternate. I think he's got a very realistic shot of actually making an NFL All-Pro team when those teams are officially announced later on this month. So the question mark has always been, what does the other cornerback spot look like, right? You've had Nazi Johnson out there. You've had Joshua Williams out there. You've even had Shamari Connor out there at times and a few other guys sort of cycling in and out of that rotation ever since Jalen Watson went down with the leg injury. Now you're hearing, you know, okay, Watson could be back, right? He's off of IR. The 21-day window has opened. Will he be ready by the time you reach next weekend with the divisional round matchup? I don't know. I don't know if I'm too sure about that. And even if he is ready, is that really the time to throw the guy out there? Right. He hasn't played in 2 months. And rather than give him another week of practice, of one-on-ones, of different things to kind of get himself acclimated and knock some of that quote-unquote rust off, you're just going to throw him out there against a matchup against potentially, like we've said, that Chargers team where he may have to go one-on-one with Quentin Johnston for 4 quarters, or if the Chiefs decide that McDuffie's going to guard Johnston, then he's got to go one-on-one with Ladd McConkey, who has been really impressive as a rookie, even battling through injuries and being extremely effective in Justin Herbert's offense with Jim Harbaugh at the helm. I'm not too sure about that. Jalen Watson is the second best corner on this football team. I think that by all intents and purposes, many would agree. It's just he hasn't played much in the last few months. And I think that that's a little bit of concern. You're worried about, you know, where his stamina is at a certain point, right? He's been out of football for a while, doing the rehab and all those different things. What kind of game shape is he in? And giving him a little bit more time to get under, you know, get his feet out from under, or get his feet underneath him, I should say, I think could be very, very beneficial for them. So that's maybe one of the bigger concerns that I have, is that number 2 corner spot, which most people would agree.
Teams that's a problem.
Yeah, right? Number two corner is a bit of a problem for many. I also, you know, look at it from the standpoint of the tight ends for opposing teams, right? The Kansas City Chiefs have been a little bit exposed by tight ends across the league this year. And you look at the teams that are remaining, and while the Chargers don't necessarily scare you with their tight end play by any means, you know, the Texans have a solid tight end. The Ravens, of course, Mark Andrews did absolutely nothing.
Great tight ends.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. Mark Andrews, yeah. The first couple of weeks of the season, it was sort of like, oh, did Isaiah Likely just surpass Mark Andrews as a tight end? And what did Mark Andrews do? I don't know, catch 11 touchdown passes the final 9 weeks of the year. He's been pretty exceptional this back half of the season. And between him and Isaiah Likely, how do those two guys potentially, you know, if it is the Bills or the Ravens that they see in an AFC championship game, how does that match up with Bolton and Chenault and Drew Tranquil, guys who have kind of struggled at times against tight ends? And I guess you throw Justin Reed or Jaden Hicks into that category as well, because those guys come down from their safety spots and cover the tight end a little bit too. And the other thing that, you know, I can't say I necessarily agree with this one, but there are people out there that are talking about legitimate concerns surrounding Harrison Butker and his kicking since he came back off of the injury, right? He's missed an extra point. He's missed a couple of different field goals. He was 3 for 5 in the last few weeks there, the last month plus of the season for Kansas City, including a miss in that Broncos game last week. He seems to not quite be the same guy since the injury. And I know that it's weird to say a kicker turns it on in the postseason, but there are those guys, right? I mean, Adam Vinatieri and they're just Steven Gostkowski. Certain guys just kind of had it when it came to playoff football. Harrison Butker kind of exudes that throughout his career. So I, for one, am not somebody that is ultra concerned about Harrison Butker going into this potential playoff run in the quest for a three-peat.
He deserves the benefit of the doubt. Agreed. Right? He's been one of the best, if not the best kicker, the last few years. Mm. Right? But that being said, he's making me a little nervous. I think just from the eye test, just him being out there looking at his form, the way he's approaching it, something just seems a little off. It's like a little bit of a hitch, you know, and he's kicking and he's kind of like falling down. He's just kind of, it doesn't look like he's true to form right now, which is a little, again, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's a Super Bowl winning kicking kicker. Man, he does. It makes me a little bit nervous. To your point, on as far as the secondary goes, I think I'm a little less nervous about that, only because of the way the pass rush has kind of shapened up. I mean, the pressure that they've been able to get. Let's not count last week. Right? Last week doesn't count. But the previous few weeks, you know, that defensive line has really started to come together, and that's gonna, right. You get a little bit of pressure on that quarterback, speed up that clock in his head. That covers a lot of those blemishes in the secondary. So I think the Chiefs truly do, when they're playing together, they have a full their full complement of defensive linemen. It makes me less nervous about the secondary.
I agree with that. And I think if there's one guy you look at for this Chiefs team in the last month that has had a tremendous impact, maybe not in the stat sheet, but a tremendous impact on the way that the game is being conducted 11 on 11, Charles Omenihu is 100%. Not getting nearly enough
100%.
Talk in the national media and across the landscape of the National Football League. With what he's done coming back into this Chiefs lineup at his size and his get off, I mean, how quick he is off the ball, is he generating a ton of sacks and a ton of pressures? Maybe not, but it makes it more difficult to try to go double team Chris Jones or try to chip block George Karlaftis coming off of the edge. When you've got Omenihu and Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, maybe a Tariq Wharton or a Mike Dana all in that front four, that's really tough to contend with. And then you throw in what Steve Spagnuolo is oh so good at, is dialing up just picture perfect time blitzes, whether it be via Nick Bolton or Drew Tranquil, whether it be one of the corners or a slot corner coming down or a safety blitz from Justin Reed or Jaden Hicks. He is so good at diagnosing and dialing those up at the right time in the right place that having that front four is already tough enough to deal with, and then you throw in those added blitzers and those exotic packages, it opens up so many more avenues for guys to get to the quarterback, not just Charles Aminihou. I think that he has been very, very important to how good this Chiefs pass rush has been since he came back off the injury. What they were able to do during that three-game stretch over that 11-day period around Christmas, I think can be attributed in very large part to teams having to contend with and identify where Charles Aminihou is pre-snap, not just Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, makes life a lot harder on an offensive line and a quarterback trying to stay in the pocket and make passes.
Are you not nervous about the left tackle spot at all? What's going to happen there?
I mean, for me, I would be shocked if it's not still Joe Tooney that's out there at left tackle. I know that you made the signing and you brought in DJ Humphreys.
Signed him for a reason.
I know that's why you signed him, but it's hard to argue with what Joe Tooney has done production-wise. I mean, and they have talked up so much that backup left guard that was behind him, even when he wasn't playing all that much, even when he was just a depth piece. They were talking so much about him. Sort of reminds me a little bit of how Nick Allegretti was talked about a few seasons ago in Kansas City and what he provided and where he's at now. So I look at it from the standpoint of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of a thing. Tooney has not given up a pressure at the left tackle spot since he took over, and he had to go one-on-one with Myles Garrett. If we recall, he didn't go much one-on-one with TJ Watt because he was pretty much exclusively going with Juwan Taylor, who kind of held up for the most part, holding penalties and what have you. That's the nature of the beast when you're going up against a TJ Watt type. And so I think that you leave Tooney at the left tackle spot. You leave that depth piece at left guard who's provided you with great stuff, because the interior of that offensive line is still going to hold up extremely well with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith inside there. I think for my money, Joe Tooney should be staying out at left tackle and protecting the blind side. The problem with that is if you go win a Super Bowl with Joe Tooney sitting out there at left tackle and he performs well, I talked about it yesterday, right? What do the Chiefs do with Trey Smith this offseason? Carrington Harrison had a guy from SpotTrack in yesterday who said that he's probably a $20 million a year guard.
Probably priced himself out.
He probably has. Same thing can be said for Joe Tooney if he goes out and has this in remarkable 6-7 game stretch playing left tackle when he's been a guard his entire career, showing off that, hey, I'm an all-pro at multiple positions. I can do whatever you want me to do along the offensive line. He has a contract negotiation coming up here, maybe not this offseason, but potentially next season, you know, into next offseason, where he could become a free agent. His price tag could go up drastically, and some of that's buoyed by the fact that he's a Pro Bowler and an NFLPA All-Pro at the same time. So, again, you mentioned, we talked yesterday, we talked all week about Trey Smith. Trent McDuffie's now eligible for an extension. George Karlaftis is eligible. What are you going to do with Nick Bolton? Joe Tooney's another guy that you're going to have a very, very serious conversation about, because that guy is a proven winner and a proven commodity, not just at guard, but along the offensive line, proven that he can play multiple positions and do them all extremely, extremely well. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to run through some of those other wild card matchups. Had an 816 in the text line say, please talk more about the wild card playoff matchups. You got it. We're going to do it when we come back. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy.
If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys. guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
To After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. On your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
You give me money.
Well, we finally have scoring in the Orange Bowl between the Penn State Nittany Lions and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Penn State's up 3-0. That's what we get. Field goal kicks things off. 13:30 to go in the second quarter.
Defensive battle.
Defensive battle, which is kind of what I expected. These are two of the five best defenses in college football this year. They've both been absolutely outstanding. And Penn State making life hard on Riley Leonard right now. 2 for 6, 38 yards, and he threw a very costly interception into Penn State territory. Now, ended up getting, you know, 3 points out of it for Penn State. Right now, neither team is, I mean, I shouldn't say neither team is successful offensively. Penn State's ran the ball pretty well for the most part. They got 55 yards on the ground versus Notre Dame, 24 on 8 carries. But they can't really throw the ball all that much either. Penn State, I mentioned, they were the best defense in college football for a lot of the season alongside Ohio State in their defense. You know, that's what $10 million will buy you in NIL, is a really good defense. But man, wouldn't that be fascinating? You know, all this talk about Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina and, oh, how does the SEC get snubbed out of the college football playoff? It would be a little bit of fitting justice for me as an Iowa fan. Admittedly, I am
a Big Ten guy.
I'm a Big Ten guy.
All right.
To see a potential Penn State, Ohio State national championship game. Ooh. I got to say, that would make me a little bit happy, but also extremely concerned about the chances of other Big Ten teams in the near future, because Penn State and Ohio State already recruited a high level, and then you see them get to a college football playoff national championship game. Things get a little bit more dicey for the rest of the league after that, too. But we had somebody in the text line earlier. 913-586-7965 is our number if you want to chime in, ask a question. Wanted to talk about the other wild card playoff matchups that we've got going on this weekend. So we'll start here. We'll go with the AFC and then maybe take a break here. We'll hit the NFC teams on the other side. So let's start with what we've got Saturday afternoon, right? 3:30 kick over on CBS. Houston hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. And this is maybe the one that I think I'm least excited to watch this weekend. And I don't mean that to be, you know, rude or spiteful one way or the other. I'm really kind of surprised that the Chargers are only a 3-point favorite here, despite being the road team, because Houston has really kind of limped to the finish line. The amount of injuries that they've dealt with, especially on the offense, especially in that wide receiver room, right? You lost Nico Collins, who ends up on IR for a while. He comes back. You lose Stephon Diggs to an ACL injury. And then that horrific scene with Tank Dell in that game against Kansas City. That was just that one.
Brutal.
That one hurt to watch. And so he's going to miss a great deal of time. They're talking right now about he may miss next season as well because of the amount of damage to his knee, which is a really sad situation because he's a phenomenal wide receiver, and him and C.J. Stroud are very, very close friends. And I just think that C.J. Stroud hasn't quite been the same guy that we saw last year go out and be as exceptional as he was. And the numbers kind of back that up. C.J. Stroud has not thrown for 300 or more yards in a game since week 5 against the Buffalo Bills. That's how long it has been since that game, week 5. So week 6 to week 18 of the NFL season, he's averaging less than 200 yards per game.
That offensive line is a problem.
That offensive line is
a big problem.
Big problem. And especially when you don't have, you know, the caliber of wide receivers that you had early on in the year that can generate separation where you can get it out in a 3-step drop or a play action rollout and get yourself away from the pocket. that becomes problematic. You got to wait. You got to sit there in the pocket and wait for things to develop a little bit better. And that's just not happening, right? He hasn't thrown for 3 touchdowns in a game since week 6 against New England. In fact, you look at CJ Stroud's numbers over the last 11 games, he's thrown for 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. 10 to 8 in 11 games.
Not good.
Not the guy we saw last year when offensive rookie of the year. And then you look at it and you say, okay, well, maybe it's because of Joe Mixon, right? Joe Mixon coming to Houston really, really came onto the scene hot at the start of the year for the Texans. He hasn't been the same guy. In fact, in the last 4 games for Houston, he's only got 129 yards rushing. That's not even 60 a game. It's barely, I mean, you know, it's just, he's just not that guy right now. I shouldn't say 60 yards. That's barely over 30 rushing yards a game for him. And you look at, you know, 129 over the last 4 games. He's got 407 yards in the last 8 for this Houston Texans team. And he's got two 100 yard games in their last 8. That was against the Dallas Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dallas had the number 29 run defense in football. Jags had the number 25 rush defense in football. The Los Angeles Chargers do not have the number 25 rush defense in football. They are really, really good at stopping the run. Chargers are the number 1 scoring defense in the league. And you've got Justin Herbert, who in his last 3 games is averaging over 300 a game. He's got 8 tutties, 1 interception. That's 2 quarterbacks going in completely different directions. Now, Houston has a really good defense. They're in the top 10 of the league in total points and as well as total yards allowed. But with the struggles that they're seeing offensively, I just don't see this Houston team being able to keep pace with what LA's offense is going to be able to provide in terms of points scored. I don't think Houston's got much of a chance in this one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think of the 3 AFC games, this is definitely by far the least attractive. I mean, you're looking at the Chargers, right? Their strengths are not turning the ball over and making other teams turn the ball over. And the Texans have just been offensively this year, just a ghost of themselves from last year. I don't know if it's maybe the league has made adjustments, right, to CJ Stroud and the way he plays. I don't know if it's just a schematic issue with them and they just can't figure it out. But I just don't know. And it's not like the Chargers, from an offensive standpoint, have, you know, a bunch of horses in the stable that are going to run you out of the, you know, off the field. That's not the case. They have some nice pieces, but I wouldn't say necessarily their wide receiving core is all, you know, all world. So the Texans could keep up with them, but I don't see it happening.
It just seems like a team that's kind of on its last legs right now. I mean, they're truly limping to the finish line with all the injuries that they're dealing with offensively. And, you know, the Chargers, of course, you know, the signing last week, oh, they brought in Ezekiel Elliott. How much does Zeke have left in the tank? I don't know, but you've dealt with some injury issues with both J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards at times this year, and we know what Jim Harbaugh's philosophy is. He wants to run the football. He wants to be effective in the ground game, and so having him as another guy that you can throw into the mix, I think, opens things up maybe a little bit more for the Chargers. Might be enough to win this game. Not sure if it's going to be enough to go any further than that. So you look at the other Saturday game, Ravens-Steelers. Saturday night, 2 really good defenses, 1 really good offense, right? I think that's the difference in this game. Ravens on paper are the better team. They should win this game. But don't let history determine this one, because if it does, that kind of bodes well for the Steelers. I didn't realize this until yesterday. In the last 10 matchups in this series, this AFC North rivalry between the Ravens and the Steelers, Steelers are 8-2. What? I can't say I saw that as a factor that the Steelers have won 8 of the last 10 times against Baltimore. And, you know, you talk about it. Obviously, the key is Lamar Jackson. What version of Lamar Jackson are we going to see on Saturday? Is it the Lamar Jackson that we've seen in the regular season for his entire career, where he's won 2 MVPs and, if not, in my opinion, for voter fatigue, would win a 3rd this year? Or are we going to see the postseason Lamar Jackson that has become oh so accustomed to being berated and belittled on Twitter, who just kind of, yeah, shies away from the big time moment? And you see his counterparts, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, rise to the occasion while he kind of staggers behind and sort of doesn't embrace being the guy when it matters most. If he's able to rid himself of that, if he's able to rid himself of being a quarterback in his playoff career who has 6 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, he's got a few rushing touchdowns, 4 sprinkled in there, but 10 total touchdowns to 6 interceptions in your postseason career, not going to be enough to win. No question about it. So I look at it from the perspective of Lamar Jackson's got to go out and play the way he played during this regular season, where he was absolutely brilliant all year long. Baltimore has played much better here in the back half of the season than the Steelers have, certainly. I mean, the Steelers, I talked about how the Texans limped to the finish line.
Yep.
The Steelers face planted and broke teeth on their way to the finish line getting to this point. And I think that the Ravens, if they play the game that they're capable of, they should discard this Steelers team and win by 2 scores. I don't want to say, maybe not 14 points, but they win it by 10, right? Maybe a 24-14 sort of a game, and be able to set themselves up for what could be a matchup against the Buffalo Bills. That is the first matchup Sunday afternoon. It's a noon kickoff.
Yeah, as far as the Ravens go, you know, look, divisional games, right? You never know what's going to happen in those divisional games. Steelers are limping in. I think the first half of the season, they had a fairly easy schedule, and they kind of got exposed on the back end, right, when they actually had that tougher schedule and they played some decent teams. They showed they're not the powerhouse that they initially everyone thought they were, right, halfway to 3/4 of the way through the season. They just don't have the horses. I don't think offensively they just aren't clicking right now, that they can't keep up with the Ravens offensively.
Couldn't agree more. I think that you tote the rock with Derrick Henry quite a bit in this football game, and see if you can allow that to kind of let Lamar Jackson
the offense
a little bit
flows through. I mean, this season I think is proven it flows through him, not through Lamar Jackson, which is probably the way it should be.
Probably the way it should be. I think it takes a lot of the pressure off of Lamar Jackson. Yep. Maybe that's what allows him to reach that level in postseason play for the first time in his career. Who will they be matched up against? I think that it's likely the Buffalo Bills. I really like what Danan was saying earlier on his show from 6 to 7, talking about how this Broncos team, that's kind of his upset of the week.
They're coming in confident.
They are extremely confident. Bo Nix, in my opinion, is the offensive rookie of the year. As good as Jaden Daniels has been, I was very, very high on Jaden Daniels coming into this draft. Absolutely I was. But I think Bo Nix has absolutely shattered any expectation I had for him. I laughed.
100%.
I think there were a lot of people out there that follow the National Football League who straight up laughed out loud when they saw the Denver Broncos take Bo Nix in the first round. Like, what is Sean Payton thinking? It just kind of blows your mind when you think about that. When you think, okay, Bo Nix, who played against Joe Burrow in college.
That's crazy. That still blows my mind.
Fifth-year starting quarterback Joe Burrow and Bo Nix played against one another while Joe Burrow was in college. I mean, they're literally like 2 or 3 years apart from one another. I think Nix is 25 and Joe Burrow is 27. It's insane. But he has exceeded every expectation that anybody had for him. And then you pair that with a really, really elite defense. The top pass rush in the National Football League. And it's not like they have a bunch of, you know, they don't have 2 all pros or 3 all pro. I mean, they have depth. They have guys across the board who can get to the quarterback, and sort of the same thing that the Chiefs do a little bit, where they dial up these exotic blitzes and these exotic packages to kind of mask what they want to do and send guys off the edge or send guys through a gap from that linebacker or safety spot. But it's still the Buffalo Bills and it's still Josh Allen. And while Patrick Mahomes reaches a level in the playoffs that no other quarterback can reach, I think if there's one guy that you can say gets close to the level that Mahomes reaches in the postseason, it's Josh Allen. I mean, the battles that those two have gone through in postseason play and in the regular season is not rivaled by any other quarterback duo in the National Football League. And so for the Broncos, I think the biggest key is you got to stop the run. And I know that's weird to say, and I don't just mean James Cook. I mean you keep James Cook from being effective in the running game, and you contain Josh Allen. You're not going to stop Josh Allen and his running ability, but if you can contain him, if you can keep him in the pocket, which we saw them do at times, especially that first time around against the Chiefs, they did a really good job of containing Mahomes and not allowing him to break the pocket and extend plays with his feet and do that magician-like stuff that we're accustomed to seeing. If they can do something similar against Josh Allen and make him have to make plays in the pocket, make plays under duress, make plays under pressure, and not just tuck it away and do something with it like that incredible 40-yard run he had against the Chiefs during the regular season, I think you can keep it close. Don't know if it's going to be enough to win, but you can keep it close.
Yeah, I think there's a few things the Broncos have to do. One, they have to be able to take the first quarter and hang in there, right? They have to be able to take those initial punches from the Bills and keep it close and hang around. I think secondly, and most importantly, keep Josh Allen off the field. They have to be able to possess the ball. They have to be able to move the ball and just kind of eat up that clock. And if you can keep Josh Allen off the field, you can keep that Bills defense, which is suspect, right? The last half of this of the season, they've left some points on the board for other teams. So if they can keep control of the game and the momentum, I think they do have a really good shot at upsetting the Bills. I think the Bills may be a little bit overrated just because Josh Allen covers up so many warts. I mean, he can put points up at will in whatever facet of the game that he wants. So, like I said, possessing the ball, keeping Josh Allen off the field, that's going to be the key for them, I think.
And a huge factor in that time of possession battle you're talking about and keeping Josh Allen off the field, you have got to, if you're Sean Payton and this coaching staff, specifically on the offensive side of the football, the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, whoever, you got to make sure that Bo Nix is prepared and that he does not get overwhelmed by the moment.
Yep.
I mean, he's played in big games, obviously, in his career. You know, he played in the SEC. He played at Oregon for many, many years and had some really exceptional years in the Pac-12. But this is a different beast. This is the playoffs. This is the Buffalo Bills. This is the MVP of the National Football League this year. It will be in Josh Allen. And if you're Bo Nix, as good a year as you had, especially the back half of the season, this is a different beast, right? It's the same game. It's 100 yards of field, but
pace is different.
The pace is different. The moment is different. It's going to be a huge, huge test for a young quarterback who many people question coming into this league. He's answered many of those questions. This is just the next one on the list, right? This is the next question on that big, long test of, are you a franchise quarterback? And if you can get a playoff win against Josh Allen, who just finished up an MVP year,
I would love to see that.
People are going to be bought in on Bo Nix very, very, very quickly. All right, well, we got a little bit of time here in hour number one. We'll try to get to as many of these NFC playoff matchups as we can, although they may dip into hour two. Logan Weber here with you, my producer, of course, for tonight's show. Always want to shout out the producers. Me being a producer myself for many, many years down in the Springfield market, I keep a great deal of respect in my heart for the guys behind the glass who press the buttons and get everybody on air, because I was one for such a long time. Julio Sanchez with me. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, if you're a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, you're probably sweating it out right now. No doubt about it. Penn State, I mentioned they went up 3-0 during the last segment. Now 10-0. Nittany Lions get a rushing touchdown courtesy of one of their 1,000-yard rushers in Nicholas Singleton. Him and Catron Allen have combined for 115 yards on the ground. Nittany Lions have 141 yards rushing for the game. Meanwhile, Notre Dame, who's got the ball back here trying to drive and put something on the board before the end of the half, they have 84 yards of total offense.
Yeah, neither side of the ball is looking very pretty right now.
They are not doing much in the realm of offense. They've got 4 first downs as a team, 2 for 5 on third down in this game. They're averaging 2.5 yards a carry.
Ouch.
11 for 27.
Ouch.
Not going to get the job done, especially when you look at what Penn State's done, averaging 5.5 yards a carry. You're giving up a first down every other play. That's not great, and you're losing the time of possession battle pretty strongly as of right now. Well, we're not going to have a lot of time here at the end of hour one to get into these NFC wild card matchups, so we'll hold off and we'll get to those in hour number two. But I do want to run down a couple of stories surrounding the Kansas City Royals that came out today. Some contract arbitration avoidals, I guess is what you could call it. The Kansas City Royals agreed to contracts for next year with a host of different players, including Chris Bubich, who, according to Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star, who we visited with yesterday, sounds like he is one of the guys that this Royals front office and J.J. Piccolo believe could be that fifth starter in Kansas City. You know, I asked him, are the Royals going to look for another starter, try to sign somebody in free agency, maybe make Lorenzen the five? And he said no. Sounds like Lorenzen's going to be the four, and it's going to be Chris Bubich or potentially Kyle Wright who could become that number five starter. So Bubich will be back with the team next year. He did sign a contract. Hunter Harvey, a right-handed pitcher, of course, who the Royals picked up, acquired last year. Carlos Hernandez signed a one-year deal coming back to Kansas City to avoid arbitration. Kyle Isbell, who is presumably going to be the center fielder for this Kansas City team next season. MJ Melendez, another one who the Royals are going to have back. And then John Schreiber is another one that they brought back as a reliever for this Royals team. I think that we'll see how he factors in with this Royals bullpen. I loved what Bubich provided out of the pen last year when he came back off the Tommy John.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he can bring that level of productivity to as a starter, great. I mean, he's a flamethrower, right? With the velocity that he has, I think that he would be a perfect fit as a bullpen guy, maybe that seventh or eighth inning guy. And then you got Lucas Ursig down there to shut the door in the ninth. But if they believe in him as a starter, who am I to ask, you know, or question? I thought Piccolo, as many Chiefs or Royals fans believe, he probably should have been the general manager of the year, executive of the year. Agreed. In Major League Baseball. He didn't. It went to the Cleveland Guardians GM, but I'm not going to question what Piccolo wants to do. If he thinks it's the right move, then it's the right move. And until it isn't, we all just wait around with bated breath to see if everything plays out the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah, no, I mean, with the way that rotation was handled last year, I mean, who are we to question that? I am a little surprised they brought back Melendez. I thought maybe he'd be a trade piece.
Mm.
That being said, do you think the Royals still have one more move? They still need a bat. I feel like they still need some offensive firepower. So I think that is still kind of hanging out. There's still moves to make out there for them.
I think there are as well. And in fact, there's a couple of people, one being from Sports Illustrated, who's kind of said there is a guy out there that the Royals have been linked to. And I'm a little bit surprised by the name, but I kind of like the way that he fits with this Royals team. We'll be sure to talk about that one in hour number two. Logan Weber here with you after hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, we're building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.